ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनाम् उपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन्नूतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ महागणपतये नमः ॐ नमस्ते अस्तु भगवन् विश्वेश्वराय महादेवाय त्र्यम्बकाय त्रिपुरान्धकाय त्रिकालाग्निकालाय कालाग्निरुद्राय नीलकण्ठाय मृत्युञ्जयाय सर्वेश्वराय सदाशिवाय श्रीमन् महादेवाय नमः ॐ त्र्यम्बकाय यजामहे सुगन्धिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बन्धनान् वृक्षोर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवद्वर्यमा शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वामेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनापतितमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ यश्चन्दसा मृषभो विश्वरूपः छन्दोऽभ्योऽध्यमृतात् सम्बभूव समेन्द्रो मेधया स्पृणोतु अमृतस्य देवधारणो भूयासं शरीरं मे विचर्षणं जिह्वा मे मतिमत्तमा कर्णा आभ्यां भूरि विश्वं ब्रह्मणः कोशोऽसि मे तया पीतः श्रुतं मे गोपाय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ अहं वृक्षस्य रेरिव कीर्तिर्पृष्ठं गिरेरिव ऊर्ध्वपवित्रो वाजिनीव स्वमृतमस्मि प्रविनगुंसवर्चसं सुमेधा अमृतोक्षितः इति त्रिशङ्कोर्वेदानुवचनम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
Turn the page and we'll do Bhadram. It's out of order. We learned it out of order, so let's chant it together. Bottom of page 5.
Om Bhadram Karne Vishrinuyama Devaha भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूपिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्षो अरिष्यनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
Okay, let's go back to Apyayan to page 4. Bottom of page 4. You can repeat after me. Om apyayantu mamangani.
Om apyayantu mamangani.
Vak pranas chakshushrotram.
Vak pranas chakshushrotram.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Mama brahma nirakarot.
Mama brahma nirakarot.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Me astu.
Me astu.
Tadatmani nirate.
Tadatmani
nirate. Yet upanishatsu.
Yet upanishatsu.
Taramaste mayi santu.
Taramaste mayi santu.
Te mayi santu.
Te mayi santu.
Om shanti shanti shanti. I'm going to listen now. You read well, the small sections. You repeat three times after me. Okay? Om apyayantu mamangani.
Om apyayantu mamangani.
Om apyayantu mamangani. Om apyayantu mamangani. Vak pranas chakshushrotram.
Vak pranas chakshushrotram.
Vak pranas chakshushrotram.
Vak pranas chakshushrotram.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Ma brahma nirakarot.
Ma brahma nirakarot.
Ma brahma nirakarot.
Ma brahma nirakarot.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam. Me astu.
Me astu.
Me astu. Anirakaranam.
Anirakaranam.
Astvanirakaranam.
Astvanirakaranam.
Anirakaranam.
Anirakaranam.
Astvanirakaranam.
Anirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam. Me astu.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Me astu. Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Me astu.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Me astu.
Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam.
Me astu.
Tadatmani nirate.
Tadatmani nirate.
Tadatmani nirate.
Tadatmani
nirate.
Ya Upanishad.
Ya Upanishatsu.
Ya Upanishatsu.
Ya Upanishatsu.
Ya Upanishatsu.
Ya Upanishatsu.
Ya Upanishatsu.
Dharmaste mayi santu.
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 Te mayi santu.
Te mayi santu.
Te mayi santu.
Te mayi santu.
Om shanti shanti
shanti.
Let's try to get it slowly.
Vyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshishrotramato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahmau panishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaram astu anirakaram me astu Taratmani nirateya upanishat sudharmaste maishantu, te maishantu. Om shanti shanti shanti.
I'm going to try to do it slower. I get going too fast.
Om apyayantu mamangani vak. Pranas chakshu shrotram ato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahmaupanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu Tadatmani nirateya upanishat sudharmaste maishantu, te maishantu. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Sometimes it's different. Sometimes they're all down. And it's just a convention. Yeah, like Purnima Duff is all down. I'm sorry, I don't remember. No, I don't believe it's Kena. I can look it up for you, though. It is a prayer to one of you Upanishads. I don't remember which one. Could be Kena. Actually, I really don't remember. We're going to try a couple of times now at normal speed, okay? Just because I want you to be able to listen on the tape also if you want to practice, okay? Om apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahmaupanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu Taratmani nirateya upanishat siddharmaste maishantu, te maishantu, om shanti shanti shanti. Om apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahmaupanishadam. Maham brahma nirakuryam, mama brahma nirakarod, anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu, taratmani nirateya upanishat sudharmas te maishantu, te maishantu, om shanti shanti shanti. Om apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahmaupanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu taratmani nirateya upanishat sudharmaste maishantu Te maishantu, om shanti shanti shanti. Go to the next page, not page 5. Just listen to this.
Om vang me manasi pratishtita, mano me vachi pratishtitam, aviravirma edhi, vedasya maani istaha, shrutam me ma prahasihi, anena ditena aho ra transantatami ratam vadishyami satyam vadishyami tanmam avatu tadvaktaram avatu avatu mam avatu vaktaram avatu vaktaram Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
We'll do just one line of this, okay?
Is that the same as Shandamitra, the end of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There, you'll find through the Shanti parts, there's some areas that are the same, okay? Just repeat this one line after me so we can know that we've started it, okay?
Om Vang Me. Om Vang Me. Manasi. Manasi pratishthita, pratishthita, om vang me, om vang me, manasi, manasi, pratishthita, 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 om vang me, manasi, Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Pratishthita Om Vang Me Manasi 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 Pratishthita Mano Me Mano me, mano me, mano me, vachi, 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 pratishthitam, 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 mano me, vachi, mano me, vachi, mano me, vachi, Mano me vachi pratishthitam pratishthitam Mano me vachi pratishthitam Mano me vachi pratishthitam
That chi is short, and it becomes obvious when you put it in the sentence. So listen to this. And O and A are long. Va is long.
Mano me vachi pratishthitam Mano me vachi pratishthitam. 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 Om vang me manasi pratishthita. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita
Together.
Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita
That C is short also.
Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita 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 Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam
Together
Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam Om Van Me Manasi Pratishtita Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam Aviravir 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 Maedi 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 Maedi
Maedi
Aviravir Maedi Aviravir Maedi Aviravir Maedi Aviravir Maedi Aviravir Maedi Together Aviravir Maedi Aviravir Maedi Aviravir Maedi Vedasya Mahani Istaha Vedasya Mahani Istaha
Repeat after me.
Vedasya ma Vedasya ma Vedasya ma Vedasya ma Ani Istaha Ani Istaha Ani Istaha Ani Istaha Vedasya ma Ani Istaha Vedasya ma Ani Istaha Vedasya ma'ani istaha Vedasya ma'ani istaha Vedasya ma'ani istaha Vedasya ma'ani istaha
Okay, we'll just repeat what we've learned a couple of times and then take a break together.
Om Vane Manasi Pratishtita Mano me vachi pratishtitam aviravir maeti vedasya maani ishtaha Om vang me manasi pratishtita Mano me vachi pratishtitam aviravir maeti Vedasya ma'ani istaha.
Okay, we'll stop there with the chanting. We're not going to have class next week because I have to present at that conference. So no class on Saturdays. So it'll give you a chance to study and all of these things. So let's take a little break and we'll go to Atma Bodha. We're on verse 23.
Rage cha sukha dukkhadi Rage cha sukha dukkhadi Buddhau satyam pravartate Buddhau satyam pravartate Susuptau nasti tannashe Susuptau nasti tannashe Tasmad buddhestunatmanaha Tasmad buddhestunatmanaha Rage cha sukha dukkhadi Rage cha sukha dukkhadi Buddhau satyam pravartate Buddhau satyam pravartate Susuptau nasti tannashe Susuptau nasti tannashe Tasmad buddhestunatmanaha
Okay, let's do the sandhi. Raga, icha, raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, adi, buddhau, satyam, pravartate. Susuptau na asti tat nashe tasmat buddhehe tu na atmanaha.
When you see all those letters piled up like that, do they unfold rather than
Yes, they do. And they will for you, too. If you know the vocabulary, and if you know the Sunday, it automatically breaks up. It's very difficult if you don't know the vocabulary, right? So let's look at the vocabulary.
The beginnings, the roots, and the endings.
Just the name of the word, like that you know that there's a word called raga, that's a word. You might not know. So you've never heard of raga, you've never heard of icha. Where do you know how to break it? It might be, who knows?
Yeah, my eyeballs start going in circles.
Right, but, you know, you have to keep with it. Okay, let's take a look. Raga. The word raga, you know when you think of, it usually comes in as a pair, raga dvesha, your ragas dveshas. Ragas are positive desires, a desire in the sense often translated as passion. You have a real pravritti, an inclination, you want something. So it's a passion towards something. So it can all be translated as like, your likes. Dvesha means hatred. It's dislike, but it's a little more loaded than that. We can say your raga dvesha, your likes and dislikes. But I like these things because they make me happy, so I have a pravritti toward them. Dvesha, dislike or hatred. It's often used for hatred. So raga dvesha. Bill. Hey. I'm teaching a class, but I'll call you back. I want to talk to you, too. I'll call you back in a few hours. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. My brother. Okay. Raga. So raga dvesha. So raga, you can take it as passion. You know? Raga. Passion or like. Icha. Icha means desire. So your likes, your ichas, your desires. Sukha, and so now let me tell you something else. Well, wait, let me finish this little part, then it'll make sense. Icha means desire. Sukha means pleasure. Dukkha means pain. So it has your raga, your desire, your pleasure, your pain, adi, etc. Okay? So now, do you notice dvesha is not included in there, but it's understood. Because dukkha is there. They don't have to say everything. If there's sukha and dukkha, pleasure and pain, then what would be the opposite, the counterpart of raga? And they've got the adi, so in your mind you'll think dvesha.
So it's not like they're really, they're using three words for likes, desires, and happiness.
Yeah, but then the dukkha is there also. Right. So they've got your passions, your desires, your pleasure, your pain, etc. So when you say that etc., dvesha will come in. What's the opposite of icha? You know, your desire, things that you have nivritti toward. Right, so all of this whole thing, the adi is going to bring in all of that. So raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, etc. Okay, so now, notice also that this word has no, in between there's no endings. So that means it's a compound. There's no vibhaktis endings, right? Ramaha, Rama, Ramaha, there's no endings. So it's a compound. So what kind of a compound is it? Well, raga and icha and sukha and dukkha and other things. So, in other words, the relationship of each one of these words to the other is through and. So it's a list. Like if I said Rama and Sita and Lakshmana and Bharata, okay? If I went through this person and this person and this person and this person. This object and this object and this object and this object. So all of this list is put together by the word cha. That's the relationship. This and this and this and this. That's called a dwandva compound. So all of these compounds are going to have a given name based upon the relationship of the words. So in this particular one, it's called a dwandva compound because the relation between each words is and.
Will there always be a cha in a dwandva compound?
Yeah.
There will always be a cha.
Yeah, there will be. I mean, when you break it, because it's going to be a list like that.
It almost sounds like the definition of jiva.
Well, in the sense that these are things that a jiva will suffer from. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at the next word. Buddhao, from buddhi, like harao. Buddhao. Buddhi is actually a feminine short, it's like mati. It's a feminine short e noun. Buddhao, matao. Right? In the locative plural, a locative singular. Remember harao, matao? I think it's got a secondary ending also. It can take the feminine form of matyam also, right? Matyam or matao, right? So here, often in my experience, even though the feminine shorties and shorties for that matter, can take in the from the genitive down through the locative, either the masculine or feminine form, it often takes that masculine form. I'm used to that, much more used to seeing that. So here, with buddhao, buddhi is feminine. Buddhao is in the locative singular. So, buddhao satyam. So, satyam.
What was the definition?
Buddhi, intellect. So, look, just hold that as locative singular. Now look at satyam. Satyam is the feminine form of a present participle of the verb to be. Okay, and you haven't learned present participles yet, so soon we're going to have to go into present participles. But I'm just talking about this so that when we get to it, you'll remember, there'll be something in your mind. Take my word for it. Take my word for this. Buddhao is locative singular. Satyam is locative singular of a present participle. Present participle means that the verb is taking place simultaneously with the action is taking place simultaneously with the verb. Like, for instance, a present participle is while as he was singing, he walks. Singing, she walks, right? Reading, right? While reading, she does such and such. She keeps an eye on her children. Okay? While reading, that's present participle. She watches her children while she's reading. So the main verb is she watches her children, watches. That's the main verb of the sentence. She watches her children. But what is she doing while she's watching her children? She's reading, multiprocessing. What is he doing? He's walking to the store. He walks to the store. That's your major sentence. He walks. What does he do while he walks to the store? Singing, he walks to the store. That's a present participle. See that?
Are most present participles ing ending?
Yes, ing. And what they show is action that's taking place at the same time that the verb is taking place. Notice it's a present participle, present tense. So it means that action is taking place while the person is doing the main action of the sentence. Okay? So singing, he walks. You know? Reading, she watches her children. She has that third ear, as we were talking before.
And the Western grammarians call it a present active participle.
Yeah, we have to be a little careful of that word active because we have something else for a present active participle. Yeah. We have a present past participle. Yeah, maybe we could do that. But I want you to keep with present participle. Okay, so now what I'm saying is, what I want you to notice here is the present participle is in locative. The noun buddhi is in locative. When you have a noun in locative, along with a present participle or a past participle, which you haven't learned yet, but so when you have the noun and the participle in the locative case, right, you with me, like here, then that's going to translate like this in this sentence, when the buddhi is, when the buddhi is. So in a sense, the buddhi and the present participle become a clause in the sentence. When the buddhi is existing, if I want to make it, when the buddhi is existing, buddhao satyam, comma, then raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, adi, pravartate are. They exist. When the buddhi is there, so in English I'd say like this, when the Buddha is there, when the Buddha is present, translating the Satyam as his present or his being, when the Buddha is present, is existing. But in English, to get the meaning clear, is when the Buddha is there. Buddhao Satyam. When the Buddha is there, kama, raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, etc., pravartate are there. Pravartate, singular, atmane, put a present tense, pravartate. Look at your compound, raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, adi, present, neuter, nominative singular. The dwandva is a group. It's one group. So it's put in the singular. You can also have these dwandvas end in the dual or end in the plural. There's rules for that. But here, what they're trying to show you is this group. This group exists. But then when I go into the group, so the group is in singular. When I go into the group is composed of raga and sukha, and raga and icha and sukha and dukkha, etc. But it's declined in the neuter nominative singular as one word.
So is the declension of a compound based on what the law... So if you have Ram, Sita, you know, one is
Sita will
masculine
be in the,
and one is feminine.
Yeah.
Is it declined as a feminine?
Yes. There are some exceptions to that. There's some rules for that. There's rules for which word would be put first.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be Sita and Rama or Rama and Sita.
Based how you put them in the context?
Yeah, but that, I have to check on that. You don't really have to bother with that right now. It's not really important. But yes, it will be declined at the last member if it's not a certain type of compound. So it gets a little bit, not complex, but I need to tell you a list of things to really answer that fully. But for the most part, yeah. And so here, adi is being translated as an adi beginning. It's actually an adjective, but it can also be it can also be a noun. Okay. So here, adi is in the neuter, nominative, singular for a short e ending noun, like vadi. Okay. And it's in the singular because it's looking at this as this dwandva as a group. So raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, etc., pravartante, they are. This group is. Buddhao satyam, when the buddhi is. That, buddhao satyam, when you have a locative noun with a locative participle, it can be in singular, dual, plural, it means when that is doing whatever it's doing, or did, it can be in sequence or in present participle, it would be while it's happening. This noun is doing this thing while this other noun is doing this thing. Okay?
We're multitasking.
Okay. But it's not one, it's not going to be the same noun. It's called an absolute locative. And so I'll be pointing out this absolute locative construction as we go along. And once we learn the participles, then I'll give you many examples of it. Okay? But now, as we're going through this, I just want to talk about the grammar and let you kind of see it. Let's look at the next line.
Did you do the last word?
Pravartante means to be engaged in or simply to be, to exist. Okay.
Yes.
So we're using it just to exist, to be.
They are when the Buddha is.
The raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, etc., they exist when the Buddha exists, when the Buddha is there. Okay. Now, susuptao, from susupti. Another feminine, susuptao. What would that be?
Locative
singular. Na asti. When deep sleep is, na asti. It is not. In deep sleep, it is not, na asti.
In deep sleep?
In deep sleep, susuptao. We'll look at making more parallel construction in a minute. But right now, just to see what the words mean. Susupti means deep sleep. So susuptao, in deep sleep, na asti, it is not. Ishir, it is not. Tannashe. Locative, nasha, from nasha. Nashe, like rame, locative singular. Tan nashe, when there is the absence. Nasha, this is important now. Nasha we can take to mean, usually means destruction, the destruction or destroyed. It also means when something simply is not there, it's not manifest. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means when the thing is not there, when the thing is absent. So it doesn't just mean when something is destroyed, because you can learn nasha to, or nush just to mean that which is perished or that which is destroyed. It also means that which is absent. Okay, in the dictionary, I'm not just telling you that. So, nashe, in the absence of that, okay, ten, that. So it's going to be this, now look at here, nashe, in the absence, what is the relationship going to be with the word that, in the absence of that, right, when that is not. So that's a genitive relationship between tet, this is a compound, ten nashe. In the absence of that. So that's a genitive relationship between tet and nasha. Right? That has another name. It's called the shashti tet purusha. That means that shashti means sixth case. The relationship between the nouns is of sixth case, as opposed to being just and. Okay? So I'm just giving you extra information for Bill, and some of you are ahead. It'll be useful for you. And then for all of you, it'll be something that's just in your mind. And when it's come time to really learn it, then you can, it's easier. So, in deep sleep, it is not in the absence of that. Okay? Tasmat, and I'll make that more clear in a minute. Tasmat, therefore, buddhehe, of the buddhi, could be either buddhehe, could be from the buddhi, it could be ablative, or it could be genitive. Buddhehe, because it's going to be the same. Remember that ablative and genitive are the same for many, except for Rama, right? Except for Rama and Paula. So buddhehe, of the buddhi, to, indeed, or whereas, therefore, or to really means but. But it's usually, sometimes you can't translate it. It's the but means to kind of distinguish something. Na, not, atmanaha. Atmanaha is also genitive for atman. The ablative and the genitive are the same, atmanaha. You haven't learned unending nouns yet. Atmanaha. Not for the atma. So of the buddhi, not of the atma. Of the buddhi, not of the atma. So let me tell you it in English, and then we'll look again and see how that works. Likes, raga, desires, pleasure, pain, etc., exist when the buddhi is up. When the buddhi is there, they are there. The raga, etc., are there when the buddhi is there, when the intellect is there. In deep sleep, it is not there. The raga, etc., are not there. The group of raga, etc., is not there. Tan nashe, when in the absence of the buddhi. When the buddhi, when the intellect is not there in deep sleep, raga, etc., is not there. That's the best way to try. When the buddhi is not there in deep sleep, in the absence of the buddhi, tanashe, in the absence of the buddhi, tanbin buddhi, in the absence of that, meaning the buddhi, susuptau, in deep sleep, na asti, raga, the group beginning with the raga, is not there. Na asti. Tasmat, therefore, of the buddhi, the raga, etc., belongs to the buddhi. The raga, that group, the raga group, is of the buddhi, not of the atma. In English we'd say, therefore, the ragadi, the group beginning with raga, belongs to the buddhi, genitive relationship, buddhi, buddhehe. So the raga belongs to the buddhi. It does not belong to the atma. Where do I get the word belong? In English, genitive. Genitive relationship. Let me explain one other thing that's important here. Ready for that explanation? Okay. The word has doesn't exist in Sanskrit. We don't have the word has. So we couldn't say the buddhi has raga dvesha. Okay. Or the atma has raga dvesha. We can't say that. We can say raga and dvesha are of the buddhi, using the genitive. For has, we use the genitive. So we say, raga dvesha, likes and dislikes, are of the buddhi. How would we say that in English? Raga and dvesha belong to the buddhi. Or we would say, the buddhi has raga and dvesha. But the construct in Sanskrit is the genitive with the noun. Of the buddhi, raga dvesha. Buddhehe ragadi. Okay? Buddhehe ragadi. Of the buddhi, raga. Na atmanaha ragadi. Not for the atma. Not raga. Not of the atma raga. So we don't say this of. You have to understand the construction. So that's how we would say the intellect doesn't have raga. The intellect has raga dvesha. The atma does not have raga dvesha. Right? Or we would say raga and dvesha, etc., belong to the buddhi. Raga and dvesha do not belong to the atma. We use this genitive construction for that. Okay? So now let's look at it so that you can understand it. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Raga, icha, sukha, dukkhadi. Dwandva compound. Raga, the raga, the desire, the sukha, the dukkha, etc. Buddhau satyam pravartate. They are there when the buddhi is there. Okay? Buddhau satyam, when the buddhi is there. Absolute lakata, pravartate, they are there. Susukhyam nasti na asti tannashe. In the absence of that, tannashe, in the absence of that, susuptau, in deep sleep, in the absence of the buddhi, susuptau, in deep sleep, na asti, it is not there. What is not? Raga icha. Raga, desire, etc. is not there. When the buddhi is, in the absence of the buddhi in deep sleep, raga, etc., is not there. Tasmat, therefore, buddhehe, the raga, etc., belongs to the buddhi. Therefore, belongs to the buddhi, whereas not belongs to the atma. So in English, you'd say, therefore, the raga, etc., belongs to the buddhi. Na atmanaha, not to the atma. Everybody kind of get it? Okay. I want to chant it again, but explains a lot.
Be asleep all the time.
It actually explains a lot, I think.
It explains this whole identification.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I thought you liked to sleep. It's such a good escape.
Now I do, because I listen. Rage cha sukadukadi. Rage cha sukadukadi. Buddhau satyam pravartate. Buddhau satyam pravartate. Susuptau nasti tannashe. Susuptau nasti tannashe. Tasmad buddhes tu natmanaha. Tasmad buddhes tu natmanaha. Prakashor kasya toyasya. Prakashor kasya toyasya. Shaityam agnir yatoshnata. Shaityam agnir yatoshnata. Svabhava satchidananda. Svabhava satchidananda. Nitya nirmalatatmanaha. Nitya nirmalatatmanaha. Prakashor kasya toyasya. Prakashor kasya toyasya. Chaityam Magneru Yatoshita. Chaityam Magneru Yatoshita. Svabhava Satchidananda.
Svabhava Satchidananda.
Nitya Nirmala Tatmanah. Nitya Nirmala Tatmanah. Sakashorkasya Toyasya. Prakashorkasya Toyasya. Chaityam Agnir Yatoshita. Shaityam Agnir Yatoshita. Svabhava Satchidananda. Svabhava Satchidananda. Nitya Nirmala Tatmanah. Nitya Nirmala Tatmanah. Okay, Sunday. Prakashaha, Arkasya, Toyasya, Shaityam, Agnehe, Yata, Ushnata, Swabhavaha, Sat, Chit, Ananda, Nitya, Nirmalata, Atmanaha. Let's look at the first line. Prakashaha, nominative singular. Prakashaha, like Rama. Prakashaha. Arkasya. The Prakasha, the light, Arkasya of the sun. I think Arka is masculine, I believe so. But it doesn't matter if it's masculine or neuter, it's going to be the same. Okay. Prakashaha, the light, Arkasya of the sun. Toyasya, genitive, right? Genitive singular. Toyasya, shaityam. Neuter nominative singular. Toyasya, of the water. Shaityam, coolness. Coolness. The light of the sun, the coolness of water, Toyasya Shaityam. Agnehe, genitive singular, like Harehe, fire, Agni. Genitive singular, Agnehe, Harehe. Of the fire, Yata, indeclinable, just as. Ushnata, heat, hotness. Okay, hotness. Let me remind you of something here. The ushnata is in the feminine nominative singular. Okay? Now let me remind you of something. The ta, the word is ushna. Ushna means heat. Okay? Ushnata. That ta is an affix that's declined like a feminine a-ending noun. Ushnata. I could also say ushnatvam. Ta and tvam, these two affixes are exactly the same. What they mean is the ness of it, or the nature of being hot, the state of being hot, or hotness, the hotness. I can even use the word heat, but what I'm understanding by the word, by the affix ta, or the which is feminine declension, it's an affix that goes on to the noun or adjective, or the affix tvam, which is neuter, right? I'm understanding the nature of the thing, the ness. Or the ness of, also ship, like if I say leader as opposed to leadership, right? Hot or hotness or so ness, the ness or ship affects in English, or the state of being or the nature of. That's what this ta and tvam affix is. And in Vedanta, these two affixes come all the time. Okay, so I'll just keep pointing them out to you. Now, there's another thing. Do you see the shaityam there? Shaityam? That is the third way of constructing this abstract noun. And what happens, and I'll take you through this when we're actually learning it, but just to let you know so that I can point it out to you. What happens is that the vowel, the penultimate vowel, the middle vowel in the word, will take vriddhi, and a ya will be added. So Shita, Shaityam. Shita, the E is the vowel. Shai. E takes the vriddhi, Shai. Then the Y is added at the end, Shaityam. Okay? So here, Shaityam, which would mean coolness. The coolness of the water.
Could you say Shaityam?
Ashitatvam. Or Shitata, Shitatvam, or Shaityam. All three, these are three ways of forming this absence of abstract, the abstract. So now let's look at the first line. Prakasha arkasya, the light of the sun, toyasya shaityam, the coolness of water, agnehe yata ushnata, the hotness of the fire, yata. Yata is going, we probably start with yata, just as the light of the sun, the coolness of the water, the hotness, or in English you would say heat, knowing, taking it as an abstract, the heat of the fire, okay? Now, do you see the three, you see the three nominatives there, prakashaha, shaityam, and ushnata? Swabhavaha, in the next line. That's a nominative singular, swabhavaha. Now look at this compound here. Sat, existence, and chit, consciousness, and ananda. The sat, which is, I would say, like, I'm making a dwanda, and it sounds like a dwanda, I don't mean that. The sat, which is chit, which is ananda, which is nityam, right? The existence, which is consciousness, which is fullness, which is timeless. Nirmala, which is pure, free from impurity. Mala means dirt. Like dirt in the ground is mala. Dust is mala. Nirmala means without dirt, without dust, in just in a concrete way. But if for us it would mean that which is without impurity. You see? Without dirt. In English, in terms of the antikarana, we're not going to say, oh, your mind is without dirt. We're not going to talk like that. We're going to say your mind is pure, or your mind is free from impurity. Nir means without. It takes away the mala. So without impurity. And in English, we'd probably just say purity. Okay? So now, look at. We've got the sat. Okay, the sat, the existence, which is consciousness, which is ananda, which is timeless, which is nirmala. All of these are in apposition to each other.
How do you say which is as opposed to and? How do you know to do that?
It's called, well, the reason we do it here is because they're not different things. Because you know that the sat itself is the existence, is the nityam. So these words are referring to one thing. When that's the case, the relationship is what we call, the words are in apposition to each other. This is this, is this, is this, is this.
But we only know that by construct, not by grammar. By a context, not by grammar.
That's right. And if you don't, you'll get it in the Bhasha. But say you don't have this knowledge, and you might say, well, there's some sat over here, and there's some chit over here, and then there's some nitya over here.
Right.
And so you're breaking the compound as a dwandva.
Right.
Where in actuality, it's not a dwandva, it's what we call a karmadarya. Karmadarya means that each word, you don't have to worry about this now, each word is an apposition. So in an adjectival relationship or an appositional relationship.
What is apposition?
That would be like in a sentence if I say, Rama is king. You know, we could also say King Rama. But the word Rama is labeling this person, and the word king is labeling this person. Where if it was more of an adjectival relationship, it would be the young Rama, right?
Yeah.
So when each one of the words is referring to an object, they do have an adjectival relationship, but it's more an apposition, especially if there's two nouns. Like if I say, you don't say the existence consciousness. You would say, in an adjectival relationship, the existent consciousness. Right? That's adjectival. You ever really see that? You don't, in just in talking, wouldn't it sound funny to you if I said, oh, look at the existence consciousness?
Right.
That doesn't sound right. But you could say, existence is consciousness. You see that? Then that, if I was to say to you, existence is consciousness, you would understand, yes, that's a sentence, but I don't know what you mean. How is existence consciousness? But you would understand it is a sentence.
Right.
And if I said to you, the existent consciousness, you would understand that as a sentence. There's an existent consciousness. Because grammatically it's correct. There's an adjective there. The existent is an adjective and consciousness is the noun. But I couldn't say the existence consciousness in an adjectival construction. I would have to say consciousness is existence. That's appositional. And it means that those two nouns are referring, right, to an object. The Atma is existence. The Atma is consciousness, or consciousness is existence.
Appositional
means they're in the same case, referring to the same thing, right?
So what is appositional again?
Well, the sut, there's no such thing as a sut and a consciousness. There's an existence thing here and a conscious thing here. No, there's existence, which is consciousness, which is free from time, which is pure. All these words refer to the same thing, right? And now what I want you to notice is the ta ending there. Do you see the nirmala ta?
Mm-hmm.
That's the ta, the abstract. So the state of being pure, the purity, the eternality, the existence, the consciousness, the fullness, the freedom from time, the purity. So it's putting that whole thing into an abstract, the ness. This state of being is Atmanaha, of for the Atma, genitive. Right? Atmanaha?
Uh-huh.
Genitive singular from Atman. So now, so we could say like this. The Swabhavaha Atmanaha, of the Atma. Okay. The Swabhava of the Atma is Sat-Chit-Ananda Nitya Nirmalata. The Swabhava, the nature of the Atma, is Sat-Chit-Ananda Nitya Nirmalata. Just as, that gives an example. How could the Swabhava of the Atma be Sat-Chit-Ananda, etc.? How could the nature of the self be Sat-Chit-Ananda, etc.? Yata, just as the light of the sun, the coolness of water, the heat of fire, just as that, similarly, is understood. Similarly, the Swabhava of the self is Sat-Chit-Ananda Nitya Nirmalata. Nature. Swabhava is nominative singular. It means nature. One's own being. One's own nature. Swabhava. Does everybody see it? Prakashur pasitoyasya shaitan yatoshnatal swabhava satchirananda nityanir malatatmanaha. Prakashor kasya toyasya, shaityam agnir yatoshnata, swabhava satchirananda, nitya nirmalatatmanaha. Prakashor kasya toyasya, shaityam agnir yatoshnata, Prakashor kasya toyasya shaityam agnir yatoshnata swabhava satchirananda nitya nirmalatatmanaha.
Okay.
what I'm trying to do, I'm going to do a few of the consonant vibhaktis, because if we understand some of the consonant along with the vowels, we'll just be able to go a lot further in translation. And also, before I go on to some more verbal forms and participles, I want to stay with the vibhaktis a little bit longer, right? And so that it gives you a chance to really study them and start learning and understanding the patterns. Okay? So I'm going to put on the website Sanskrit vibhaktis dash consonants. And the other one I'm going to relabel as Sanskrit vibhaktis dot vowels. You know, so for vowel ending nouns, consonant ending nouns. So that you can go, that's not on there yet, but it will be on there. And so I want to talk about them a little bit and get you familiar with them and go over a couple of them today that are very similar. So first thing, if you can have your case, do you see your cases? The isl us. So if you can look at those cases, the sut pratyaya vibhaktiya. Why I didn't introduce these initially with the vowels, okay, is because these go through so many changes. But I didn't want to confuse you. However, somebody have it?
It's okay.
I didn't want to confuse you with these. But when you get to the adding for consonant ending nouns, you know, these add on directly. These add on directly. I'm going to have them here. Let me go get one. Don't be sorry. This happens forever.
I'm really working on this. I resist this part so much. You know?
I have it. What do you need?
I just got it. Thanks.
What she needs it. No, what is it?
Yeah, I have one, so she doesn't need to print it. Yeah. Carol, there is an extra one here.
Thanks,
Nessa. Okay. For consonant ending nouns, let me give you a couple of examples so you know what a consonant ending noun looks like. Like, for instance, marut ends in a consonant. Botch, consonant. Bhagavat, consonant. Atman, consonant ending nouns. Okay? These, we haven't looked at these yet. We've only looked at vowel ending nouns like Rama. Sita, Hari, Guru, etc. Right? These are what we've spent months on. We haven't spent any time on these. Now, because there's more of these, and just traditionally, these are taught first before we move into these. Okay? So, but now we are going to move into these. And in a way, these consonant ending nouns are much, much simpler to learn. And they're simpler to learn because these vibhaktis that you learn, isau, us, are added directly as they are. They're added directly onto the noun.
With no
change. There will sometimes be a change in the noun base itself. Like, let me give you an example. I'm going to look at, just look at marut, and I'll show you. Marut. I want to show you a couple of things about this, and it'll apply throughout. If you see the ending, the nominative, is, out, us. Okay? Really see that?
Mm-hmm.
Marut, and this is going to be true throughout. If I add to marut the is, it's going to be this. Okay? If I add the is ending to marut, plus
is
in usage, is changes to the visarga. But the is the ending, okay? So I'm not changing it to the sardi yet. So I'm adding the ending is. And if I were even to talk to you in that way, if I had like this, marut, visarga only comes after a vowel. You cannot have a visarga after a consonant, ever.
Ooh.
Visarga is always the aspiration of a vowel.
Oh, right, you couldn't, because you just have to end it halfway in marut.
Yeah, there's no vowel. Visarga is the aspiration of a vowel,
right,
okay?
Right.
So now, if I have an is affix, this is a conjunct consonant.
Well, you call it is, actually.
Well, because you usually just, that's convention, instead of saying, you
can't say yes.
You, yeah.
Okay.
A mute.
Just clarify.
That's okay. Yeah. That's a good question, actually. Because I could say, I'm saying if it sounds like an E, and that's not an E.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So what you do is when something is just a mute by itself, it's not pronounceable. So you'll either come in with an us or an is or something like that, but usually with an is, you just say is. Okay. Okay, look, you see there's a conjunct consonant there?
Mm-hmm.
Conventionally, what will happen by rule, by Panini Sutra actually, everything except the first member of the conjunct will drop. And so the form will be marut. Okay? Once in a while, there will be also like, just to give you an example, let me do Bhagavat. No, I won't do that yet.
Could you say that again?
Just when there's a conjunct consonant formed by the adding of an affix, which is the is here, all the members except the last one will drop. Except the first one will drop. So, do you see that marut plus is? If I go like this, marut, and then it's going to add an is on there. Okay? So now we have a conjunct consonant. Everything except the conjunct, only the first member will remain.
Is that always true? A word cannot end with conjunct.
It is true. Yeah, yeah. It will change. It'll modify. Okay. That's not to say the substantive can't end in a conjunct, but in usage, when it's adding a vibhakti ending, there's going to be a change there. That's going to take place. Yeah. Okay, so in the nominative singular, that is going to drop, and you're going to have marut. Now, if I add marut plus al, is al us, it should be it adds directly on. Marut al, marut taha. Yes, the is drops, is al us. Marut, marut al, marut taha. No problem. Now, if I do the nominative in the accusative, al us directly. Marutam, marutau, nominative and accusative dual are always the same. Marutaha. Now you're going to get used to seeing the nominative and accusative dual being the same because the ending is the same. Sometimes there'll be some difference. Because of sundi, as we'll see. And even in the nominative, in the vowel endings, you've seen that. Like dasyahan, dasihi, that type of thing.
Piero, is this true for all consonant ending substantives that the endings are just added on unchanged? For all of them?
Yes, but there's going to be sometimes some change in the word itself. And that's what I'm going to show you and some examples of that. Okay. This is one example.
Yeah.
Ta. Byam bis, right? A byam bisin, okay? So marit plus a, maruta. What about marut plus byam? What would that be? Hard consonant, soft consonant?
The.
Right, Sunday rule. This will change to the third. So what does this tell you? If that normal Sunday is going to apply here, marut plus byam, marut byam. Ta changes to da. hard consonant followed by soft consonant. This goes to the third of its class, Mudud Bhyam. Okay, so Mudud Bhyam. What about Mudud plus Bihi? Same. If some of you still don't know or have come in late after I've taught all the Sunday rules, then what I would advise is when I teach the Sunday rules to this new group of students, I'm going to be starting a class on the Sunday rules, then you come to that also so that you can relearn or learn for the first time the Sunday rules, okay? Maruta, Marupyan, Marubihi. Now let's see, data. What would it be? A, Pyam, Bhyaha. Marute, Marupyan. Do you see? It's so straightforward. Okay. Now, do you have the Marut hand out there? Now, let's go down to the, let's look at the Marut, the handout from Marut. Marut means wind. This is what I just, you should have just picked it up off the table.
So it's another word for vayu?
Yeah, it is.
So that's why I'm
going
to
Marut.
It's not
a lot. Yeah, that's right. Does everybody have Marut off them off the table? Did you get it off the table, Peter?
Oh, okay.
What?
To learn all the case endings, you know, to learn the word, it seems easier than just case endings alone.
Yeah, you should be able to go back and forth. You keep learning the paradigms, but at this point, I actually want you to know these by themselves so that you can...
The case endings by themselves.
Yeah, two. I want both. Because because I want you to be able to appreciate the patterns, you know, so...
Okay.
Okay, Marut. Let's look at the ablative. The ablative, the ending is us, pyam, bhyaha. Okay? Marut plus us, marutaha. Marut pyam, marut bhyaha. Nothing, you're just simply adding. Genitive, notice ablative and genitive are the same. Marutaha. Marut plus os. Marut plus the ending is os. Is, os, and is, os, om. Okay? Marut plus aha, marutaha. Marut plus os, marutoho. Marutoho. Marut plus om, marutam. Okay, so now, remember when you were learning the vowel endings, always before the om, there's going to be a na. It, like, rama, nam. The actual affix is om. But an in is affix there. Rama nam, Hari nam, Sita nam, Dasi nam. The affix is actually om, but they're getting that na augment. Here, with consonant ending nouns, no na augment. So you get used to just seeing om. As opposed to, look in your accusative singular. Look at the accusative singular for Marut. Au us. Marutam is very different than marutam. Right? So you have to be aware of seeing that om affix. Okay? Look at the locative. E os su. Maruti. Marutoho. Right? The genitive and the locative are the same in the dual. Marut su. Okay, so there's no sandhi there. Su affix, go straight on. Marut su. Then the vocative, exactly the same as the nominative, which will not always be the case. There will still have situations where the singular in the vocative is different. In this case, it's not. Marut, marutau, marutaha. Now, There are a group of nouns, mostly ending in ta and da, not but or mut, but in ta or da, masculine or feminine, that are declined in exactly the same way. Like I gave you to like bubrit, bubrit, up here in this. See where it says bubrit? Marut, uh-huh. Bubrit means king. That's declined in exactly the same way.
Sorry, Marut means king?
Yeah. Marut means wind. Drishat means stone. Feminine. But there's a whole group of consonant ending nouns that end in a ta or a da that are declined in exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. So if it was drishat, the feminine, it would be drishad, drishadau, drishataha. Drishad Byam, Drishad Bihi, you don't have to worry about Sunday there. Drishad Doho, Drishadam. Simply the affix is simply added. If there's any Sunday to be made, where would a Sunday be? Look at the locative plural for Drishad. Drishad plus Su would be Drishat Su, right? Because the da followed by a hard consonant.
So Sunday is going to apply, and that's where there'll be, you'll see some differences, like,
let me give you an example.
So we say we have Marut and Drishad.
Whether it's feminine or masculine is irrelevant. It's going to be exactly the same. What will be a little different is where you have to pay attention to Sunday. Like for Marut, it would be Marud Byam. You've had to do a Sunday rule here. This ta has to go to the da for drapa. Here, with the beyond, there's no Sunday, because it's already at the da, they're already soft consonants. So you'd have. There you don't have to worry. Drishad Pyam. Because there's no Sunday conflict there at all. No conflict between the letters. But what about with Su? Marut plus Su, no Sunday. Because they're both hard. Marut Su. But Drishad plus Su, you've got a soft plus a hard. Drishad Su. The da will have to go to the first, because this is a hard consonant. So that's just basic Sunday. If you've got a soft consonant coming together with a hard consonant, that soft consonant has to go to the third of its class. If you have a soft consonant plus a hard consonant, then the soft consonant has to go to the hard, to the first. If you have a hard consonant followed by a soft consonant, then its hard consonant has to go to the soft consonant, the third of its class. Okay, so here you see an example of that. Marut would have to become Marut Byam. Drishad stays as Drishad Byam because you have soft, soft. Here you've got hard, soft, so you've got a change. Marut Pasu, hard consonant, so Marut Su. Hard, hard. Drishad. You can't say Drishad Su. That's soft, hard. So you have to go to Drishat Su. But this is just normal Sunday rule. If you know Sunday, then you don't notice anything happening here. You're just adding the ending on by normal Sunday. You see? Okay.
Okay. I didn't see that you wrote this on there actually. So it's short and hard, then it goes the soft and hard, and the soft goes to its first, right?
Yes.
And if it's hard and soft, then it goes to the third, the hard.
The hard goes to the third.
Yeah, the hard goes to the third.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, if you print out that whole little booklet I have, you know, online. For the Sunday rules,
mm-hmm.
you should maybe be reviewing that.
So the R augment is only done with the vowels, right? So that, you know, the R augment.
The R. But what do you mean?
For
which one are you talking?
No, I mean not for these ones, but when we do. I was just saying the R. You know, the root is added as an augment, right?
Tell me the noun you're talking about.
Well, I saw...
Matre?
No, I was thinking that we're using that in that that is one of the principles dealing with vowels, you know, not with consonants. When you do, maybe I'm confused. Well, there's a r augment we use, right?
R, r, the vowel r has an augment.
Yeah.
Arsha.
No, that's guna vriddhi. There's no place for that though here. Maybe you're talking about, I mean, the guna.
No, he means the substantive plus the augment plus the termination, like in...
Like in what?
Shala, for instance.
Yeah, that's different.
The concept of augment at all doesn't exist in consonant.
Right.
Yeah.
In consonant endings...
No, it's not in consonants. So I was going
in vowel endings, in vowel endings, there are some augments, like in the... In the genitive plural, there's the augment na often, like Rama nam. There's an augment na. In the a lot of times, like there will be taking guna of the vowel before an ending, or taking or adding an augment a. So yeah, there's a lot of changes for a ending. Here there aren't.
Okay.
Here there aren't. Right. There are going to be. There will be sometimes changes in the first five inflections and of the base, like
for consonants.
In the first five inflections. First five inflections means the singular, dual, plural, nominative, and the singular and dual in the accusative. Those are called the first five inflections. Sometimes there will be a change there, like in the base, not in the ending, in the base. Like sometimes there'll be the inclusion of a nasal, like Bhagavat. Will become Bhagavant.
Oh.
So sometimes there'll be that. Or sometimes when we learn the Atman endings, the base, like Rajan, will become Rajna. There'll be a change in the base. And we haven't learned that yet. But there won't be a change in the endings. And those endings are going to hook onto the base just in a normal Sandhi way. Okay?
But the change to the base is not called an augment.
No, it's not called an augment. Unless we are adding one. But the changed base is not itself called an augment. Sometimes, like in Bhagavat, you augment, you add, and na. Okay? So we'll see. Let's look at one more of these so that you can... Let's go to Vach, the next handout that I gave you. This is for feminine, masculine or feminine cha or ja ending nouns. Okay? Again, very, very simple. The word is vach. But in Sanskrit, here's a rule that when a word ends, you're going to have this problem. You're going to do the vach plus is. Okay? Conjunct consonant. Vach plus is. So that's going to drop. You're going to be left with vach. But when a word ends in a cha or a ja, that cha or ja is changed to ka. So vach becomes vak in the nominative singular. You just have to memorize it.
That's a Panini rule, is it?
Yeah, it's a Panini rule. That's right. All of these are Panini. All of these can be found in the sutras. So the idea is this. If a word, now, because this is dropped, because two consonants coming together, the word ends in a cha. When the word ends in a cha or a ja, it will be changed to a ka. Okay? Okay, so now, on your paper here for vach, look at the bottom. The final cha or ja is changed to ka when followed by a hard consonant or by nothing. Okay? That's the rule. When followed by a hard consonant or by nothing, and ga when followed by a soft consonant. So we haven't got to that one yet, but that's the whole rule. The final cha or ja is changed to ka when followed by a hard consonant or by nothing. Here's the nothing, okay? Your vach is followed by nothing. And so in that case, it's going to change to vach. Where it's followed by a hard consonant, right? It will also be changed, vach will also be changed to vach. Remember the substantive is ending in a ch, vach.
So let's just look at some examples of this. Nominative singular is going to be vok because of what I just said. The is going to drop. The cho will change to kut. So vach becomes vok. Then it out us. Straightforward. Vachau. Vachaha. You're just simply adding on the ending. Out us. Vachan. Vach plus You guys see that? Vach plus vachan. Vachau, vachaha. The same. Ah, pyan, bis. Vach plus ah, vacha. Now the sundi. You've got vach plus pyan. First thing that happens is that this has got to, it'll actually change to ka and then to ga. The cha will change to ga because instead of ka, because this is soft. And so this kind of sundi happens all the time, where cha and ja is being changed to ka ga. Cha ja ka ga, right? First and third. So since this is soft, it's not going to change to ka. It's going to change to ga because this is soft. If it changed to ka, then you have to again change it to ga. Because if I change this to ka, I would then have vak, hard consonant, followed by byam, soft consonant. This ka would have to change to the third, which would be ga. And so you're going to see vag byam.
So we have the body rule of the cho changing to ka first, and then the ka changing.
If you want to go through the steps, but you can also just go straight to ga, realizing that ga is going to be what will be following a soft. Look at this. The final cho or ja is changed to ka.
Okay,
when followed
right,
by a hard consonant or by nothing,
and then
ga when followed by a soft consonant. That's the rule. Okay. Here's your soft consonant. So what about with b?
Well, same deal.
Same deal, right? Okay. Let's using your chart. Go down to the data. Vach plus a. Vache, vag pyan, vag vak plus byaha, vag byaha, right? Vak vach plus us vachaha, vag pyan, vag byaha. Genitive. Us, os, on, vachaha, vach, vachoho, vach plus on, vachan. Vacham accusative, vacham. Okay. Locative, vach pasi, vachi, vachoho, vak shu. Look at that. There's two rules that are going to apply here. Here you've got vach plus su, yamina su. I want you to remember that su is often shu. We're going to actually look at the actual rule. Okay. Well, first rule that you know. This, when followed by a hard consonant, nothing becomes ka. Okay?
Right.
And now we've got vak plus su. Read this rule. You don't know the full of this rule. You only know half of it. Is followed by a vowel except or a. This one you know. Right? You know like this. Si ta su, but ra me shu. Right? So you know that. If you know that su, if it's followed by any vowel other than r, a becomes sh. Here's the rest of the rule. Okay. So, followed by a vowel except r, a, or a letter of the guttural class. Of the guttural class. Okay. Of the guttural class. Or r, generally becomes sh. Here, vak plus su, the su is following a guttural. Ka is a guttural. When su follows a guttural, or any vowel except r, a, or the letter r. So, say if I were going to write like this. any vowel except R, A, a guttural, or R.
Okay?
Then, su, su goes to shu.
Okay?
Here, su is preceded by a guttural. So what is the conjunct consonant?
Yes.
Ksh. Okay?
Ksh. So this would become Fakshu.
Could you run over that rule again? Any vowel except R, A.
1, 2, 3. Any vowel except R, A.
Yes.
A guttural, R, A. If it precedes, okay, then su will go to sh. If any vowel except r, a, a guttural or ra precedes the su, I could go like this and make it even more. Let's see. Plus su, followed by su, then, or followed by su, just to keep this, followed by su, then su goes to shu. This will have wider application than just su. So if you have, if the su is preceded by any vowel except a ra, preceded by a guttural, or preceded by a ra, then the su will go to shu,
right?
Okay. So you see, fox shu. That's what's happening there. And you see the little asterisk, su followed by a vowel except a ra, a letter of the guttural class, or ra generally becomes sh. Generally, because there's two exceptions in there. Not that we have to worry about that.
So, and that just happened because we thought we share the conjunct is
Yeah, because ka is preceding the sa now.
Yeah, right.
So that's how we get that. Then look at the vocative is the same. Vak, vacha, vachaha.
So that's Swami Vakishan.
That's right. Vak. Right, plus ish.
Oh.
Vagisha. That's vak. That's the vak comes from vach. Then vach plus the vowel comes to vagisha. The ch goes to vagisha. Vagisha, and the one who's a master of speech. Okay, so let's just wrap up here.
Master of vagisha.
The Lord of Speech. The one whose bliss is through mastery of speech.
Where is the mastery?
The Isha. The one with the Lord.
Isha. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm continuing with these Vibhaktis. We're going to keep circling back to the nouns also. I'm going to do it for another few weeks, hoping that you'll really keep studying and looking for the patterns so that it becomes second nature to you, so that we can move on. Right. I'm going to do at least, let me see, three more consonant vibhaktis. There's more than that, but I'll do at least three more, and then we're going to move on to something else for a while. But it'll give you 2 weeks to really try to memorize them.
Did you give us a sheet of recognition one time? Words? Did you give us that one?
What do you mean?
Recognition. I think there was a practice sheet. Never mind, I'm confused.
It was a long time ago.
So what vibhaktis do you think we should have completely, you know, we should have the patterns completely by heart, the terminations completely by heart. And then is there a set, or do you think all of them we should have by heart?
What I think is that,
I mean, when we started out, you said, you know, Rama.
Like if you have the Rama and Pala, and if you have Rama and Pala, Pala is the same as Rama from the instrumental band, you know. And then if you say you have Hari and Guru, Hari, Guru, and maybe the, say you have Hari. If you have Hari, you have Guru.
Right.
If you have Vadi, then you have Madhu, and you also have Kartra. Right? Those are all the same. So then if you have one of the feminines, say you have Shala and Dasi.
Okay.
What you're working for is recognition. That's why I gave you that sheet, which I've added to, by the way. I don't know if you have the newest edition of that. I've added to that sheet on similarities.
This one. Compare the same
one. Yeah, that's the most recent, that one there.
Yeah.
if you can, I want you to be able to understand what's happening there so that you can see that they're the same. I'm making the same type of similarity sheet for the consonants. What we're going to be drilling on is after, you're going to have really some time now to study, but what I want to be able to do is to be able to, in class, like say if I write, I want you to be able to tell me what that is. What part of speech is that? What do you think? Hari Yaha. Nominative plural from Hari. Hari, that's kind of a hard one. But Harihi, Hari, Hari Yaha. What is this? Nominative plural, but what's this? Shala is feminine. So what do you think it is? Guess.
Nominative singular.
Nominative singular. It's also nominative plural. Mm. Yeah. So, say if I said like this, what's this? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So what if I said, what's that? What's that?
Genitive or
genitive singular.
But we know those ohos down there.
No, but that, I'm tricking you. Uroho and harehi are the
right.
same.
That's right.
This is ablative and genitive singular. This is ablative, genitive, and singular. Mm-hmm. What's this?
Ablative or genitive dual.
Yeah. What's this?
Genitive plural.
See? Genitive plural. Right. So I want to be able to write all kinds of different vibhaktis, and you get used to seeing them, recognizing what they're going to be. So you can practice that, you know, on your own. If you can really get a couple of them down and get those isau us down, and learn, and as you learn the Sunday rules, all of this stuff becomes very natural, but we have to drill it. And you have to study. You have to study some. If you don't study, then you'll just pick up what you can here. And you'll be through osmosis and whatnot, and through exposure, you'll pick up what you can. But if you study, then you'll start becoming clear. It's up to you to what degree you want it.
Brahma is so simple, but it's so different from everything else.
It's simple because you know it. Brahma is not simple. Brahma is harder than all the others, exactly, actually. But it's the first one you learn.
Maybe that's why you have it.
And so it becomes small. You know, it becomes small. You know? And you know it so well, like Ramana.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in Rama, actually, everything's different. If you go down, Rama, Rama, Ramam, Ramana, Ramaya, Ramat, Ramasya, Rame, they're all different. But just, you know them.
Your Rama seems easier than Hari for some reason.
Oh, it's only easier because you know.
You're the first one, probably.
Mm-hmm. But it's not easier. Not really. You have to, in fact, if you really to understand Rama and Pali, you have to know all kinds of rules. Why this changed. Because we don't teach you those rules in the beginning. We just want you to recognize. Okay, let's do our prayer. Purnamidam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamidachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vasishyate, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.